This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I would have to say Josh Allen, just because I think we've seen him perform better in playoff games against the Chiefs than we've seen Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. You go back to that AFC Championship game a couple of seasons ago that was in Baltimore. The Ravens came in rolling. It was their year. They were all set to do it. And they played basically their worst game of the year that day against the Chiefs. Last year in Buffalo, Lamar Jackson goes in there with a team that really hadn't been turning the ball over, and they commit several key turnovers in a loss to Buffalo in the divisional round. Whereas while Josh Allen hasn't gotten over the hump, we've seen him play some masterful games against the Chiefs and in playoff games.
Dan Graziano, who will beat Mahomes in the playoffs first? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Graziano going with Allen. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550. What am I looking at? I am looking at something called an Uncrusta Burger. Would this interest you? From the Lucy Burge account. She likes to comment on food, which that's how I usually find out about these kind of things that are at ball games, ballparks, and in this case, the Minnesota State Fair.
All right. You've got my attention.
Uncrusta Burger. Want to guess what this is going to be? Yeah, you kind of have to know the reference. I mean, maybe you do.
Aren't Uncrustables like a prepackaged kid snack, peanut butter and jelly,
exactly,
but
right,
without crust, right? Uncrustables?
Exactly right.
Okay.
A 4-ounce hamburger patty with cheese, pickles, and special sauce, sandwiched between two deep-fried peanut butter and grape jelly Uncrustables.
I'm good. No. That doesn't have to be terrible. I've never.
Right.
I've never.
Doesn't have to be.
First, I don't know. 10 years ago, longer maybe. I saw peanut butter, you know, offered at a gourmet burger place. I've never taken the plunge, so I can't speak to it. But it is something that's been around a long time, so it's not completely foreign. I don't know about jelly. Necessarily on a burger, like sweet grape jam or something like that. That doesn't sound like a good thing to me. But the peanut butter, and I like peanut butter a lot, I've never been able to get to, like, I'm going to try that burger with the peanut butter on it. I just can't do it. I don't know. Mostly because I don't like when peanut butter, I don't even like putting peanut butter on toast when toast is too warm out of the toaster. I need it to cool off. So I do not like when peanut butter gets liquefied at all. I want it to be a firm foundational structure to the sandwich. Like, it starts oozing out the side of the sandwich. You lost me. I need a bib now. So anyway, peanut butter on a burger, that's going to be hot. Melted cheese, I don't know.
It doesn't appeal to me at all.
Does not get me there. No. I bet there are people who swear by it because, like I said, it's on these menus and has been for 20 years, so it's not like some fly-by-night idea. But
no, it isn't. You're right. It's been around.
Just not ever got me curious enough to go, yeah, I'll do that. I think the first place I saw it was like peanut butter and like jalapenos or something. And like, again, no.
Okay.
That's not jiving for me, but you know, I respect you. It must work for a lot of people. So yeah, I'm not going to the Minnesota State Fair?
The Minnesota State Fair.
What's going on already, or are they just previewing it?
I don't know.
It seems early for a state fair, but what the hell do I know about Minnesota?
Not a lot.
Like, state fair season seems like August to me, but...
Really?
Anyway. Yeah. Maybe they have them at all different times of the year. Maybe it's too hot in August in Minnesota.
I have no idea. I know nothing about the subject. No. When are there state fairs? I guess summer, I would say. Yeah, summer. Syracuse.
Right.
Is where we have our state fair.
Yeah.
Drive by it a lot.
I've never been to the state fair.
Neither have I. No. Not ruling it out. Someday. Well, I pretty much am. I can't imagine why I'd ever be there. Yeah, I just.
There would have to be some concert happening that is just like, I can't skip this. It's going to be the last time I might be able to see blank, or the only, you know, maybe I've never seen blank, whatever. Something like that is what it would take to get me, I think, to the state fair at this point.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550 if you want to tell us about your state fair experiences. No, we really aren't. Personally, yes, but for the purposes of all this, not that interested. Not interested really in that. I am interested, though, and maybe so are you, in a tweet by Jared Smola today from Draft Sharks, pointing out how Josh Allen's rushing production has been in decline over the last few years. Does it feel like it? The only thing I think about with this is now two seasons ago where they pretty much told you they were going to cut back on that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing where Brandon Bean talked about, you know, do we need you to take off in week two or whatever the exact quote was. And you had Allen sliding in week three, I think it was, against Washington and talking after the game about how he won a bet because he did it. Like there was a mandate to bring that down. And then they were 6-6 and they're just like, you know,
and he just
screw it.
Went crazy. Right.
That didn't, you know, really help us. Now we have to go. Jared tweeted about how in terms of carries per game and designed carries per game.
See, that's a big key.
They have gone down mostly 4 years in a row. Carries per game, Allen spiked from 7.2 to 7.8 in 2022, and then 6.5, 6.0 since. Not a huge drop. Designed carries per game, 21 to 24, 4.2, 4.2, 3.6, 3.5.
Right. That's not surprising. Designed, I'm glad that it's specified there. I'm never even like sure where to go look for that. But like his rushing is not all this. It's not all created equal, right? Their dependency on it, how often they want to, you know, break the glass in case of emergency. It's you know, just looking at the football card stats, if you will, it can be hard to determine that because he's taken off on plays that they might have wanted him to throw the football, but it didn't work out. And, you know, he gains 20 yards and everybody's like, oh, what a play. Great. Thank God he can run. So it stands to reason that just over time they would, you know, they're backing up what they're saying. They don't call on it as often design-wise. But once you're playing, it's hard to stop him from doing. You know, you're not going to tell him what to do when he feels pressure. Like, he's the one out there on the field. He feels pressure. You hope he's right about it and doesn't bail out too soon, but he's going to get out of there. Get out of there. But yeah, you know, it's funny though that how the touchdowns have really spiked. I mean, we started out do we have the touchdown bet his first year here?
I think second.
Okay. Because 9, 9, 8, 6, 7, and then 15 and 12 the last 2 years. That's really where their version of the sneak, the tush-push type thing, I think it's really been the last 2 years that they started really utilizing that as sort of like a specialty that they do. And I'm really curious to see what they do with it after getting sort of it being unsuccessful against Kansas City a couple of times. But the touchdowns have really spiked, but the yards are down quite a bit.
Right. When he – I've said this many times, but when he showed up, I had no concept of what he could be as a runner. You know, for the most part over the years, quarterbacks running, it's bad when that happens. Like, you don't want your offense to feature that at all. Feature is even going too far. Like, you don't want an offense where the quarterback is scrambling all the time. You know, it just means what? The protection is breaking down. Nobody's open. It's like a desperation.
He doesn't see it well enough to know what to do.
Right, yeah,
It can be a bad sign.
It used to be all about that. Like, hang in there. And then Allen comes along and he's jumping over Anthony Barr and like his first win. And suddenly you have this, a specimen. And he's running over guys. Everything we've all seen. And I never thought about that at all. I always loved Jackson in college, and Jackson was the best runner at the quarterback position ever. Like, there was no even debate about that. And you could see that in the highlights. I mean, there hardly were even Josh Allen highlights.
Right.
And so he has this element, and that touchdown bet with you and also with another friend, he had 8 rushing touchdowns as a rookie in 12 games. I'm like, that's never happening again.
Right, and the bet was like 6.5, I think, if I remember right. Yeah, the next year was like he's not going to, because he had 8, and so you set the line at 6.5, and yeah.
He had 9 next year.
Right.
9, you said the numbers maybe, 9, 8, 9, 6, 7, 15, 12.
Yeah.
It just always blows my mind to think about like where he's at career-wise in rushing touchdowns, 65 in the regular season only. People talk about this. Didn't it come up once or twice here this week? The Cam Newton comparison. It was Jeremy Kahn from Baltimore who said it. A lot of people say it. Jackson, in comparison, Jackson avoids the big hits.
Right.
Allen almost looks like he's looking for them sometimes, like one of those running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam Newton, who's big like Allen, of course, kind of flamed out pretty young.
Yeah, he broke down physically.
And, Allen saying all that, for whatever it's worth, he's got the streak going of consecutive starts. He hasn't been somebody that, he's played through a couple of things, but he hasn't been somebody that's missed time. I just wonder if there's any reason to try to predict that with him. You know, is that something Jared's tweet about rushes? It's not, again, a steep decline, but it's there. Is that something that's on the Bills' mind? Not just risk of injury on a given play,
mm-hmm.
but
long range.
You only have so many hits in you.
Yeah, it should be. I'd be surprised if it's not. I'll put it that
it
way.
Should be.
These people worked with Cam Newton.
That's right.
So they would know. And that's why I think it's good anytime you can differentiate designed runs versus scrambles. Because the designed run is obviously that's the coaching staff, that's Joe Brady saying, we need this play and we're going to count on you to do it. And the scrambles are really out of their control. They can tell them to curtail it and be careful and whatever, but you got to be very, very cautious about doing that. You don't want to mess up, get bad swing thoughts in his head. Coach said not, whatever. Just let him, he's got to play. But yeah, I think from very early on, like once he established himself as one of the very best, boy, I would hope that they're thinking about, 15 years, in the big scheme of things here and not just, leave it all out there. Yeah, the way they've talked anyway would indicate that they're at least aware of it. Whether they're actually doing anything about it, I can't tell you, but I'd be surprised if they're not.
803-0550 to comment. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. We'll be right back. This is WGR.
I love what Rousseau is able to bring to the table. This is somebody who, when I was scouting him in Miami, I was just blown away by what he was able to do as a nose tackle, as a three technique, as a five technique. I mean, he was just able to do so many different things, and it feels as though the Bills give him that freedom to be able to do that week in and week out, and he's such a chess piece for their defensive line. Obviously, Matt Milano, when he is healthy, he is fantastic. Christian Benford has been excellent for them. It's that versatility of what Greg Rousseau brings to that defensive line that I love so much about what they can do and how flexible they can be every single week.
Trevor Sikkema, a guest earlier today on WGR. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Tampa Bay Trey. We were talking about the Bucs.
All right.
Check the box. Two segments in a row. Tampa Bay.
It's Tampa Bay Day.
It's Tampa Bay Trey. It's Tampa Bay Day. I want to get to the point a little bit about what he was talking about there in a minute. Here's Michael with us. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you for calling.
Guys, the other day, I don't know if it was you guys or somebody on the show was talking about Cole Bishop. I remember a few years back, Sal talking to Micah Hyde, saying that it took Hyde about 2 to 3 years to really understand McDermott's defense from the safety position. I don't know if Bishop played that style in college or that system in college, but I'm really worried about the back end. I just want to know what you guys think.
Well, there's a lot riding on him coming through, I think. I was thinking about this yesterday, and we did with Sal, I think, on yesterday's show, in fact, talk about Bishop and his importance, right? Having someone you can depend on the deep half of the field that the number two corner is playing, whoever that is, a rookie or Tre'Davious White for a second time around. I think a lot is riding on Bishop. We had the luxury of sort of just having two guys back there that seemed, if not actually were, interchangeable and were very good even on their worst days, excellent on their best. Like, there was just such a security to have, okay, that's all taken care of, right? And, you know, Hyde gets hurt, Poyer eventually ages out, and you're sort of shuffling the deck here, and Bishop is a second-round pick from last year. Like, they will want that. They should want that to hit. He should become like an above-average starter. And, you know, he didn't play a lot last year, and there were, you know, injuries early, but there's a lot riding on him. I can't tell you how to handicap it. I mean, I liked the player a lot coming out of college. His athletic profile, you know, read like, okay, I get why they're drafting this player. I frankly was kind of let down that he didn't break through more than he did last year. But he's a key guy, I think, moving into the 25 season.
Should it be a top 10 defense? Last 7 years, what do you want? Points or yards? What's better? I think yards is better. Okay?
Okay.
From last year back, 17th, 9th, 6th, 1st, 14th, 3rd, 2nd. 26th in the drought-breaking year, 2017. Should it be a top 10 defense? Who's the most important guy? I think Milano maybe is the most important guy, but he's a linebacker, so maybe I shouldn't pick him. I mean, the second corner is big.
Yep.
Pass rush, I don't know. I think is what it is. I mean, Joey Bosa, they've added some names.
Hoyt, yeah.
And those are two of the guys are going to be out for 6 games. Bosa might be two.
Yeah, who knows?
Like, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't – and the draft. But
it should I want to say the resources that they have poured into it this offseason – I think it would be tough to justify not being a top 10 defense.
Absolutely.
Not the best, not leading the league in sacks or something, but you should be above average, maybe even significantly above average if you are pouring your top 4 draft picks into it and your free agent signings and everything they did here, including Bosa. And the guys that are going to be suspended, like they really went to work on it. And it is not the first time they've done that. Maybe this was the most extreme using those top 4 picks, but two top picks used on defensive ends, another one used on a defensive end, a defensive tackle. Like they have devoted energy with big resources to the defense and the defensive line specifically, and they've done it again here. Yeah, I think it kind of has to pay off. You better be good back there, or up there, all around there, just on that side of the ball.
You know, a lot of times, it doesn't have to be like this. I want to say it's just how I think. The conversations, the hypotheticals we dive into are based on the negative. They're based on what if this goes wrong, or what if, you know, because what really is it? I say this in my own defense toward that. I think this is how the teams would do it, because that's what I think should be the case.
You're trying to troubleshoot potential problems. Yeah.
Right. Like, what if this guy gets hurt? What if this happens? Are we prepared for it? You know, that kind of stuff. I just think this year, maybe this isn't different. Maybe it is. But McDermott and Bean, like, if the Bills have an off year, which they have not had here since this all started, if they have really, you know, right? Like, they've won a playoff game every one of these seasons. They've won the division 5 years in a row. It's been a little bit up and down, but mostly, like, they've just rolled for 5 years. I just wonder if McDermott or Bean can afford a down year. Like, what will this sound like if their defense isn't really good? Like, isn't the whole point with McDermott that they can have fluctuation on the roster, but, I mean, the results are great overall all these years, like I just ran through, that he's supposed to make that up. He's supposed to be able to, because that's why you have him.
Coach up the guy. Yeah, right.
So that's, I don't know. Like, if that doesn't happen, there are a lot of changes, and there's a rookie at corner. And the last time they did that, it went terribly with Elam. I mean, Benford happened. But, you know, like, it's not like it has to, it's not a lock or anything that Harrison is, you know, not a liability. I just wonder what we're going to do about it. Like, Bean too, especially, not that everybody would care about this, but his stuff after the draft.
Well, yeah.
In here was like very almost weird. Like, what? How are you so easily rankled by this? He just got sick of hearing it, I guess. And, you know, last year they didn't really get open. It wasn't like people said, actually, no, the Bills have great receivers. No, it's that Allen made it work. And Cook and Brady, like, they made it work. Because nobody, including Coleman, nobody in that group really was that good. So the team was good. I just wonder how sort of primed fans might be when in terms of McDermott or Bean at this point. Because Allen is so well established as a star, and he's not going to get blamed, and he probably won't deserve to be.
I think it'll be really interesting to watch how it unfolds. And, like, I don't want to get too far down the road of, like, you know, a season that goes this way or that way. Overall, I think right now, way more fans are ready to come for McDermott almost all the time. Just because of, I mean, it's still that game from January of 21 that I'm not going to say, because when I saw it referenced on Twitter today, it made me mad. And I think I do that to people every day. I say those words and people ride in their cars go, dude!
22.
And I did. Okay, sorry. Yeah, right. The 21 season. Thank you.
Right, sure.
All right.
Because I wanted you to spend more time on it.
Yeah, right.
Us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
involved.
That leaves, like, that is still, like, until he carries this team to a championship, that is going to be McDermott's defining moment for a lot of fans. And so that I think is established. But this year, I think while fans are certainly on the Bean bandwagon by and large, because they loved it when he called in and told the radio guys to shut up and stuff it and all this stuff, like, that works for fans to an extent. But then you have to have the results to back that up again. Like, you're bragging about your results from last year, and that's fine. You've got scoreboard. Okay. If the defensive picks don't work out, if Joey Bosa can't stay on the field, if they really miss the guys during the 6 weeks, or whatever, like, it just doesn't come together, and the defense is, like, just barely scraping by, I would think a lot of fans are going to remember Bean and how aggressive he was after the draft, and then turn it back on him. So I think, and it's the first time that I feel like that might be, fans are always going to be there with this pick or that pick, Elam, whatever, right? But by and large, I think Bean has had a much smoother ride than McDermott. Because McDermott's at the flashpoint of these games that end seasons. And Bean is in a press box, and his work is done, at a different time of the year. He's mostly watching those games happen, just like we are. I think if any of those defensive guys don't come through, sure, some fans who are predisposed to the McDermott opinion that he's hurting them more than helping them can still always stand there. But I think a lot of fans will think about Bean. Maybe for the first time.
Here's Joe next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to add on to what you guys were saying. There really is no excuse. Barring the defense being totally wrecked by injuries like they were 2 years ago, there really is no excuse for, a total defensive collapse against the Chiefs in the playoffs. Because they put in so many resources, be it free agent signings or the draft this year. Like there is no reason. And I'm part of the McDermott needs to go bandwagon. I felt this way since the 13-second game, but I've been thinking a lot about Bean lately because I just think that some of the draft misses he's had, like. The big one is Ed Oliver, the cornerback.
Elam, yeah, I just mentioned him.
Yeah, Elam. And then I did just mention Ed Oliver. I think at the time that looked like a solid pick, but like with hindsight, Brian Burns went within the next five picks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
That would be a great piece for us to have. because I think like that star or a superstar edge rusher is really what would put this defense over the map, and it's what they've been trying. They've been trying to find one. I'll give them credit since they got here, but they haven't been able to do it. They had it for about 11 weeks with Von Miller, and they blew out his knee.
Yeah,
but that's the missing piece, in my opinion.
Thanks, Joe. Good points. Here's John next. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call in. I heard you talking about the defense, and then I heard you talking about Bean, and that kind of got me on a thought here. I like Bean. I really do. I think he's a great, great GM. I think sometimes that he's so likable, and, he speaks very well, that sometimes some of his flaws get kind of pushed under the rug, I guess you would say. But you look at the defensive tackles, I don't understand why we took two this year and then we took one last year in the third round, I think it was.
Yep.
That doesn't, I don't understand that because, I mean, we have Oliver, and you look at how we played against the Ravens in the playoffs. We kept Lamar in check. We kept Henry in check. So to draft defensive tackles like that, I just kind of want to get your thoughts and see what you thought on that.
I think it was their reaction to seeing what Philadelphia did to Kansas City in the Super Bowl to some extent. And they've got Daquan Jones, who's aging out. I mean, he's still listed as a starter on the depth chart. We'll see what the summer brings. But they needed to supplement that position. I think the big one I'm wondering about, I like both of the guys this year that they picked. Sanders in the second round and Deion Walker in the fourth round. Dwayne Carter is the mystery to me. That's a third-round pick from last year, and it was going all right earlier in the year, and then it was a little like Coleman, like injury, and then he just was a ghost. And I wonder about whether they've got too many bodies for him to ultimately make it out of camp. I mean, with the six-game suspensions to one of the tackles, that probably eases that number crunch, but eventually that's going to be a problem, I think.
Thank you, John. 803-0550 if you want to be next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We'll talk to John Harris about the Texans coming up in 20 minutes. This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, at this point, anything we get from the Sabres is maybe a little bit unexpected. Certainly if it's something big, needless to say. But the draft is over, free agency mostly over, and it's, I think, mostly break time. However, yesterday, the new goalie spoke, Alex Lyon. Paul Hamilton with us now to reflect here on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Paul, so what were your takeaways?
Well, when he was investigating, he actually knows two goaltenders that have played with the Sabres. Way back when he first started with Lehigh Valley, he was with Dustin Tokarski. And then with the Red Wings very recently, he was with James Reimer. So he wanted to talk to both. And I remember James Reimer last year really liked playing in Buffalo. He liked his teammates. He liked the team. He hasn't signed anyone. He hasn't officially retired, but I kind of maybe get the impression that maybe he is retired since he was telling Alex Lyon, if you want to go to Buffalo, fine, I'm not going, because it doesn't sound like he's playing anymore. So, And he was very undecided, at the end of the year. So both had glowing recommendations of Buffalo, and he said that was one of the biggest reasons why he went, because he trusted both those guys, especially James Reimer, in their evaluation and the opportunity he might get here.
And that opportunity should be backing up UPL, you think, Paul? I mean, I suppose There's a scenario where Devin Levi comes in and is undeniable or something, and they've got to make some tough decisions. I don't know, maybe even risk exposing Lyon to waivers like they did with Reimer last year at the beginning of the year, and eventually lost him and then reclaimed him and got him back. But I would expect that this guy looks like a good understudy, but also leader for young goalies, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And he said early in his career he wasn't that guy. He was kind of against the other guy. He was in competition against him. And he said that was the wrong way to be. And he said he's complete opposite of that now. He said goalies have to support goalies. And he said, whether you're the starter, whether you're the backup, whatever it is, you got to go out there and do your best. You got to compete with each other, but yet you have to support each other too. And he said that's just something he needed to learn along the way. And probably one of the reasons why, as he talked about, that you know he really didn't get chances to play the last couple of years. I mean, his season high was 15 games in the NHL, which was with Florida. And the only reason that was is because he got red hot right at the end of the year. Remember,
right.
He was
rode them right to the playoffs. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And he only played 15 games. That was a career high. And then he played 44 the next year with Detroit and 30 last year with Detroit. It's really the only 2 years that he's gotten any substantial time in the NHL. And as he talked, it just seemed like it took him a while to kind of figure out the game, figure out what he needs to do, what are the best things for him to do, what's the best way to be a good teammate and a good NHL goaltender, and he's figured that out. And as far as I'm concerned, yeah, Lukanen's a starter. I probably would have him the starter too, but you can't wait. If it's 3 weeks into the season and he's still struggling, he's got to be out. I mean, you got to go with Lyon then, and that's why you go with a guy with Lyon over maybe a James Reimer who's 38 years old, because I think you can put him in right away. But Lindy Ruff can't be messing around and risks some sort of goofball losing streak right off the bat or in the first couple of months. If it isn't going, it's got to be changed immediately.
What's your theory on Lukanen? Is it beyond randomness to explain what happened to him last year? I mean, 887 is not great.
No, it wasn't, especially where the last 35 games of the year before, his numbers were either at the top or right at the top of the NHL. And he has played the second most games after January 1st, and it looked like the Sabres had found their number one goaltender. He played like a number one goaltender, and the numbers backed that up. He did at times last year, but not enough.
No.
I mean, you didn't get the big save at the big time. The numbers, you know, tell us the story. The eye test and the numbers say the same thing. It wasn't great. Sometimes it was, but sometimes isn't good enough. You know,
right.
If you're going to be a number one goaltender, you got to be good most of the time and have the odd game off, not the odd game good. And the rest of them are like, you know, type of a thing. So he's got to be able to, you know, he's home with his goaltending coach. And one thing I will tell you is he works hard and he works hard at his craft. So he's working at it. I can guarantee that. And whether it translates back into what we saw not last year but the year before, well, only time's going to tell us.
Yeah,
that.
It's so crazy, Paul, that so much changed. And I'd love to know really from his perspective and maybe even their goaltending staff, like what they see in front of him, like what was different. Because when he broke through and earned that contract extension season before last, we talked all the time here, I remember, with you about how under control he was. Like, he must be stronger mm-hmm. because he's getting places quicker but under control. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that goes into that. There's athleticism and training and strength and like all that, physical. But there's also that's got to be in sync with what you're seeing on the ice too, right? Like reading the play, anticipating where it's going, that goaltender supercomputer. And, you know, there's too much noise in the way, interference, then the computer's going to glitch and you're going to be late getting to a place. So you're going to have to slide faster than you want to, which means you're going to be out of control. And then everything just starts toppling, right? Now recovery is harder to get back for a rebound or to the other side if you need to, because the play went behind the net and around and whatever. And there were so many times last year, I'm not even thinking of goals, but just plays in games where I'd be like, oh, no. Oh, dude. Like, what? No. And
some were goals.
Yes, sure. Plenty, unfortunately. But I just wonder what if there was something physical that happened with him, or if it just wasn't, you know, locked in for him like it needs to be from a vision standpoint, and if there's noise that the Sabres can do a better job of trying to control or minimize in front of him.
Bulldog, you must have been listening when I was on with your son, because I asked him some of these questions.
Okay.
He said a lot of what you were just saying when we were on together.
Yeah. Well, we do share a roof.
But it's true. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I watch a lot of games with him. We talked about Lukanen almost every night we were watching a game if he was playing. Like, what's going on there? So, yeah.
Your son's now a coach of goaltenders. So, I mean, he knows what he's talking about. He's been doing it for quite a long period of time. So, just exactly what you're saying. And That was the thing, especially as the season got later. It's like there he was flying by the net again. And it's like, I thought you got rid of that.
Yeah.
You know, I thought you were past that. Where, you know, all of a sudden you overplay it and you're totally past the net by when the play happens. And it's something he worked on and got better at, but he slid back into it again. So,
yeah.
Again, that's something I'm sure that he's working on right now this summer.
I wonder how much teams sort of altered, found something, right? It seems like they're studying everybody, right? They're studying these goalies. And I wonder if there was something different about the way, like, they found a thing that they could exploit. And once the Sabres realized it and Lukanen realized it, you're trying to adjust on the fly. And again, the whole thing is it's very intricate. So it doesn't take a lot to disrupt it. And I just would love to know, like, how those counteractions are taking place and shaping up. If indeed I'm right. I mean, I'm just speculating here from what I saw, you know, largely on
definitely.
TV.
Definitely. You know, and I'm sure his goaltending coach in Finland saw it too. And that's one of the things, you know, they're working on. And, you know, and it's going to be very interesting because, you know, as I said the whole offseason, they can't. I know they say they can, and they're confident in it, but I just didn't. You can't go into the season with Lukanen and Levi. You just can't. It's too much hope, and you can't go into the season with hope. And they didn't. They went and signed Lyon. I think it's a good signing because you can turn to him. If Lukanen's not ready, you've got, you know, Levi down in Rochester doing his thing. And, you know, I like the setup now that with what they got.
I'll echo what you said earlier about not waiting around for Lukanen to find his form next year. That could have, you know, been a problem this past season when he doesn't start great. It wasn't that Reimer was always good, but, you know, they ended up waiving him and sort of playing games with him. And then late in the season, Reimer ended up starting a lot because he was rolling there. So everything's easier with hindsight. But
do you remember what they did? And I hated it. Lukanen, to me, earned the number one spot, and they started alternating with Lukanen and Levi. Why? Because they want Levi to be their goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
So now they start alternating games. And if I'm Lukanen, I'm like, what are we doing here? You know, did you look at my numbers the last 35 games last year? Why are we alternating? You know, and I don't know if that was the problem with the way they started. I don't know how he felt about it because he never really wanted to talk about it. And it's just like, I'll play whenever Lindy Ruff tells me it's time to play. But this obsession that Kevin Adams has to make Levi his goaltender, he's done it twice now and failed both times. And I'm not saying it's going to fail all the time. He eventually might be a very good goaltender in the NHL. I don't know, but he certainly wasn't rated the two times he was handed the job.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline with us here for just a few more minutes. In other news, Paul, Bowen Byram is still on the Sabres, and the team elected arbitration. We've not talked to you since before the 4th of July holiday, and that happened over the holiday weekend. After Byram turned down the opportunity to file for arbitration, the Sabres did. So I think we fans probably have some idea what that means. It's been said a lot and written a lot. Mm-hmm. He's no longer available for an offer sheet. I'm curious if you think the Sabres, I don't know, did they talked about saving the money in case of an offer sheet, but they, to an extent, ended up, well, largely, entirely, controlling whether he could get an offer sheet by taking this action. So I'm sort of wondering why save the money. But nonetheless.
Well, they're not Kreskin. I mean, they didn't know that there wasn't going to – I mean, they were prepared for an offer sheet, and there were people who thought that the Sabres were going to get one, and it didn't – so they were ready for it, in other words. So, you know, we'll see how this boils out. I mean, I have no opinion on it right now. I mean, I think they did a good – I mean, no opinion on the whole thing. I think they did what they should have done by taking him to arbitration. It took offer sheets off the table, and now – even when you're making a trade, you will have, you know, a financial idea now of what you're up against. You know, if you're going to trade for Bo Byram, is it going to be a one-year contract? What's the amount? Is it going to be a two-year contract? What's the amount? You know, and that's his decision now. He and his agent can decide if it's going to be 1 or 2 years, but at least you'll have financial certainty with what you're dealing with, whether it's a trade market. And, you know, I know a lot of people are already with the wisecracks, you know, well, what are the $13 million? Well, let's find out what the, you know, if he signs, he's going to take part of that $13 million, you know, maybe $6 million of it.
Sure,
knows?
Right.
You know, whatever. And or if he's traded, well, theoretically, you're going to get one or two players back who are going to take part of that, you know. So let's see what it is. I doubt it's going to remain $13 million.
Right.
That
well,
means,
they still
that means
sign...
you traded him for draft picks.
Right.
If it remains $13 million, and then yeah, that's crazy.
They still have Timmons and Levi to sign too. Right.
Right? Yeah. So, and Timmons, couple million maybe, and Levi's contract, you know, as far as it goes against the salary cap, will be in Rochester unless it's a one-way deal. And one-way deals actually doesn't go with, you know, part of it would depending how much it is. And one-way deal just means he gets paid NHL salary if he's in Rochester. So. So I'm kind of reserving judgment on how this, how this mess is going to end up. There's so many ways it can end up that it's just like, okay, let's find out how they do this and let's see what the final result is. Then let's figure out if it was a huge mistake or not. But as far as taking him to arbitration, I think that was the right thing to do. It took the offer sheet off the table, and now, you know, he may wind up playing here another year or two. I don't see the harm in that, actually, unless you wind up getting him for nothing. Now, you can, if he elects a two-year contract, you can elect to negotiate after the first year, like we are with Tuck right now, or you could trade him. And the other team could elect to negotiate, you know, that last year to a long-term contract. So it's not like if he elects two years, he's going into free agency unrestricted. There are ways you can stop that if he agrees to terms. So or trade him and at the trade deadline and get something for him if somebody wants him as a rental.
Right. And you can still trade him now, of course. And a team just like the Sabres can sign him to an 8-year contract extension if they want before this arbitration hearing. There's room to do that.
Well, the Sabres would have to do that. I think it's a 7-year.
Oh, because it's Pat. Yeah, the acquiring team doesn't have that.
But they can do that.
But yeah.
The Sabres
could
actually make the contract.
Sign
and then
trade.
Him.
Yeah. Right.
This arbitration is the worst, isn't it? Like, that's where the Sabres will stand up and say all the things about Byram that they don't like.
After they've sat here for how long?
And I
don't think they're lying. I think they love Bo Byram as a player. I don't think they're lying with that. But then you got to go to arbitration and say you don't love him as a player.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah, Mike, you're exactly right. And there are sometimes hard feelings. You know, players sometimes leave the arbitration with hard feelings. And the it's almost, you know, like politics, you know, the way politicians talk.
Boy,
you know,
that, I don't want to say a name and have it be wrong, but there's a former Sabre I can remember there being a story. Maybe years later, this player admitted, like, you know, I didn't the arbitration thing. I would like to have. I wish I could have avoided it.
Dumont.
It just hurt me.
There were a couple of them actually, and I don't remember the names of. But there's more than one Bulldog.
Well, Dumont, they turned their back on his award and he went and left as a free agent.
Right.
But that's not who that hurt.
Tim
and I know
Kennedy
he was
they
hurt,
turned their back on.
But I can't remember who it was.
And Darcy Regier told Tim Kenny's agent, if you get more than $1 million, we're walking away.
Yeah, this wasn't so
and
much a scenario where they walked away from the award. It was just the process of the hearing the people in charge tear the player apart. It affected the player. Like, it just it left a mark. You know, it would have been better for me not to sit in a room with my bosses hearing how much I suck.
That is familiar to me, too, but I don't remember who.
Yeah, I don't want to say a name. I don't want to guess.
Yeah,
Hodgson, did he go to arbitration?
That's the name I was thinking of.
Maybe it was him.
Maybe it was him. We're both thinking him. I don't know.
Ay. All right, Paul, would you like to see the Bills return to red helmets?
No.
You're against
that. I like
the
white ones better.
Right.
I just have always just liked the white ones better. I wouldn't mind seeing that blue one that Josh Allen, not on a regular basis, but for a game or something.
The one he wore at the practice a couple years ago?
He's rolled that out. I think that's kind of sharp looking, but not as full time, you know, just as a, you know, whatever uniform they might want to wear that with once. But, no, I like the white helmets better than I like the red helmets. I never really cared for the red helmets. Just like I never cared for the blue pants and white jerseys. If it's blue pants and blue jersey, I'm fine. But the blue pants and white jersey, I think, is one of the worst uniforms in the NFL. I think it looks awful.
Okay. I don't mind it, and I hate the all blue.
I do too.
Yeah, I
don't
like,
know how
my,
it is.
My favorite
friends,
would be the all white.
Yeah, same white, here. Same here.
But I would take the all blue over the white top and blue pants. I'm not like a huge fan of the all blue, but I would take it over the white jersey.
I'm okay if they go to the red helmet again, but I would admit that the thing that soured me a little on it is how they changed the striping on it during that Bledsoe era. When the uniform change came, they kept red helmets, but they worked that like sort of yucky blue into the center stripe, and I just never liked that at all.
What was the deal with Joe Ferguson when they originally changed? Was it there was too many white helmets and he couldn't?
The whole division was white helmets.
That's a story.
Except the Jets.
Yeah.
They've had white helmets at times too, but the Dolphins, Colts, and Patriots all had white.
I wanted to make sure I was right on that it was just too many white helmets running around the field.
Too many white helmets. Imagine if a guy said that now. I mean, I don't know if Ferguson went public with that. It's always the story I heard. That's the legend, right?
He was asked about it. Yeah, okay. I mean, he was definitely asked. I don't remember what he said, but that is why the Bills did it. I just wanted to make sure I was right on that before I said that as fact. But that's why they did it.
Like, what if Tua would say that now?
Right. Hey, we need different helmets.
I'm struggling with the white helmets and all these division games. I'd like to see that. It would just go over so badly,
right.
You know. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
All right. It's our Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. His appearance is with us, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax. We got this. I'm on a roll not reading that.
That was you knocking?
That was me. His appearances are always brought to you by, and I started to do the outlet liquor thing in my mind, and that's why I tapped. That was me resetting. Like, no,
yes.
Don't say outlet liquor here. This is Equitable Advisors and Relax Honda. Relax.
I thought maybe a Wink Martindale impersonator was about to arrive when I hear that knocking. Or maybe it'll be Schwarzenegger, or maybe it'll be Tom Arnold. We should be so lucky. Washington is calling its tweaked uniforms the Super Bowl era. And I guess that works. 80s. They won three. They won three in the 80s with different quarterbacks. One coach, but three different starting quarterbacks. Theismann, Williams, Rippon.
But Rippon wasn't in the 80s, though.
91, that's right. The decade there.
Right.
82, the strike year.
I'm all right
with
the Super Bowl era. They were wearing that gear, and they won three Super Bowls in 10 or 11 years. I'm good there.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. That's totally great.
I have signed mini helmets from the first 30 Super Bowl MVPs, and I display them behind me on my podcasts. And I, you know, try to come up with some, what I think is maybe a clever combination, depending on what's in the news or who's playing. During the season, I always try to have there be two matchups from that week if I can find it. I only have the first 30, and a lot of teams don't make the cut. But I don't display the Washington ones. I'd feel weird about it. I have them. I like having them. I love the Riggins signature on his.
Yeah.
But I don't display the logo.
Right.
Which, I don't know. These days,
right.
Somebody sees that and questions you.
I think if folks don't know, by the way, Washington doing this with the uniform, the helmet is going to be the W. There had been some talk about returning to the name and some stuff like just undercurrents last year, but they're keeping that logo off of the helmet, the old logo.
And I wouldn't want a new helmet signed by those guys because they didn't wear it.
Right.
So I respect the change that they made. I don't like the name. I respect the change that they made, but it does kind of box you in, I think, for like memorabilia and stuff like that, for whatever that's worth. I mean, I like that Washington. The logo is, you know, considered offensive, and I respect that. But I like the color and the signature and like the style of it otherwise. But I don't know. To this point, I haven't felt good about
like putting it out.
Putting it out there. And I have three of them.
Well, if you have the first stamp, they're all in that wheelhouse.
It's almost like not having them.
Right.
All right. We talked earlier with John Harris from the Houston Texans broadcast team. It wasn't all about Houston. We had a good conversation about a book that he's written. That's coming up next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal's going to be a minute. Do you have a thought on s'mores? S'mores guy?
Not worth the trouble.
It is a lot of trouble.
Not worth the trouble.
That's perfectly put.
Marshmallow gets all over everything. It's really sticky. Ruins clothing. Not
to mention that you have to start a fire.
Well, yeah. I mean, I miss starting the fire. I miss sitting around the fire. I love a good fire.
I'm happy to have the rest of my family be people who all love starting fires.
Yeah, that works for you.
That's beautiful.
If you don't like it, yeah. Yeah, getting the fire going on the beach like back in the day, you know, yeah, we gotta fire it up. The s'mores, I don't know, not, there's never a big, I was the guy that like, sure, let me roast the marshmallows, it's on fire, it fell off the stick, it's okay, I don't like marshmallows. That's me with marshmallow. Don't need it.
Don't need it. I couldn't put it any better.
I would gladly...
not worth the effort.
I like graham crackers. I like chocolate. I'd gladly eat graham crackers and chocolate. I don't need no marshmallow in there. I'm all right with it.
Sal, the question you were fully expecting to start the conversation...
Will there be s'mores on your trip to Italy?
Do you like s'mores?
Actually, I don't. I'm not a marshmallow guy.
There's another one.
All right. Solidarity.
Remember the time we had? I had a friend who called graham crackers the perfect food, and we did like a show on that. Wow. Is that when you said cucumbers were the perfect food? Is it the same day?
Maybe.
In that hotel in Toronto?
I don't even know. That sounds right.
All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of international traveling, here's Sal Capaccio with us one day before his trip abroad. Very exciting. No real Bills news, I guess, but the number one topic of the offseason, I mean, arguably at least, has been James Cook, who somewhat surprisingly showed up for that end of minicamp to avoid fines. And we still didn't know exactly what to expect here, Sal, whether there would be a new contract or even a holdout or a hold-in. I suppose as we're now a little more than 2 weeks away, these are all still possibilities.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think when he went to the podium to talk during minicamp, it didn't really clarify anything about where things may stand with that. The only thing we know from that is, okay, this is good. He's here. He said, I like my money. He didn't want to be fined, obviously, but he also said that he thought it was part of his kind of responsibility, right, to be there, being a team leader, which I think was really good to hear. There's no doubt about that. I think the good grace is there. That's an olive branch, right? I think whether to the fans, the organization, his teammates, you know, to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it really resolves the overall issue that's going on.
Well, I wonder, Sal, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday during our show, and, you know, him saying it as plainly as he did, and I mean, and I'm not dogging him for it. I like my money. That's mainly why I'm here. I like my money. You know, fine, I wouldn't want to get dinged $100,000 for missing 3 days where I'm not going to be asked to do a whole lot other than maybe sit here and answer these questions. That's maybe the hardest thing he had to do the whole 3 days. but it also could have been from his end, like, look, I'm doing the thing you want me to do. Good faith on my end, and I wonder if, and I only say if, because I don't know this, it doesn't have to be a big ulterior motive, but he might have been hoping that could jumpstart things, and that's maybe the only avenue to there being any tension about it I see this summer, because otherwise I think he just shows up and without a new contract and just does what he did in the spring. But if he was hoping it was going to start something and now he feels a little burned by that, then maybe he could hold in. I expect him to be here, though. Do you?
I do, based on just him showing up and the things he said.
Right.
I don't know if I expect him to necessarily do everything right away. And it could be one of those, I'll hold in for one day, or even hold out for one day, right? And then, you know, make a statement or something like that. Now, we also don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Right? I mean, the other part of it that was super interesting to me was when he was asked by Sal Marianna, I think it was, basically, like, about the number, $15 million, and why that's out there. And he kind of had no answer for that. He's like, ah, just kind of just something we did, something I did, something I said. And I'm wondering, like, is there something going on behind the scenes where now you don't want to look like you're giving in too much if you do sign for something significantly less than that, right? I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out in a couple weeks, but I do think all options are still kind of, you know, all results here, scenarios are still on the table. Would any of us really be surprised if maybe the most surprising thing might be if he actually showed up with a contract extension? Like, you know, the day they get there is, oh, they signed James Cook to a contract extension. But I wouldn't completely rule it out. I think, you know, by him showing up, maybe he was told by the organization and his agent, hey, listen, if you really want this to happen, we need to see you here. We're not going to negotiate with you if you don't show up. Like, we need to see that, you know, you're serious about this and want to make things work, and we want to make things work.
To me, I'm not sure I want to say it's the likeliest outcome that, but I'm sure I think it's more likely than you guys do.
Yeah, I'm more like Sal, where I would agree. I think it's the least likely scenario.
A couple of my thoughts on this, Sal, are, one, I don't know if he'll ever see that money from.
Right.
Yesterday we had a topic about him, and we used Mike Clay's projections for Cook's stats, which were 1,260 yards and 12 rushing touchdowns, like another banger. And like if he happened to walk after that season, would he get $15 million then? I don't know. I mean, he's a touchdown god, maybe, but that's even weird thinking about where we were last year on him. So I just kind of think it works for everybody to get him signed to like a 3-year thing for less than that, because I don't know if he would even get that kind of money after a great year if he left.
I agree with that. I mean, it's still talking top at that time, maybe by next year, top 5 money running backs in the NFL. So he might not get that anywhere. I don't know if it's necessarily that, though. The Bills may just feel like, you know, they're not even coming close to that or approaching that, and he wants to max out his value. That could very well be the case. I mean, what do we have? War, right? Wins above replacement. And let's just say it's not wins above replacement. That's part of it. Let's take those numbers, 1,200 and something Mike Clay had.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say it's not James Cook and it's Ray Davis. How much different are the numbers, really? Like, I think that that's got to be part of the equation the Bills think, too, which is,
right. Look,
like, we have our entire offensive line back and their backups. It's very good. We have Josh Allen. Yes, he's a really good player. But if we don't have him and we go to the next guy, who's Ray Davis, how much different does that really look? And I think that's a real interesting question.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I mentioned this yesterday when we were talking about this, so I'll repeat it now to you. I think the only thing I would say, the first thing that would jump to my mind is, can Ray Davis run away from people? And a year ago, I would have told you, I'm not really sure James Cook can do that. But last year, there was another gear there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
For the circumstances, just fell right. However, it worked. He ran away from some DBs last year, and that's to his credit. I think I've heard even McDermott say something about work he did in specific on footwork, speed work, whatever. Good for him. I don't know if Ray Davis can run away from a safety or a cornerback in the open field, but that what is that? Three carries a year where that happens? Like the rest of it, I would guess if you fed Ray Davis the volume James Cook had last year, it'd be 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. I think it's going to be you're going to live with it for sure.
And you have Ty Johnson still, who we know is a really, Josh Allen called him the best third down back in the league. Part of this is too the usage of, the Bills don't use James Cook a lot on third downs for reasons that they have Ty Johnson who's very good at it and they cut in the ball, even though James Cook a couple years ago, I think he is a good receiving back out of the backfield, but we also know that he's not the best pass blocker,
right?
And he's not going to be on the field in those situations. So I think the Bills take all of that into account and say, we can still be a really good offense without James Cook. Yes, we are better with James Cook. I don't think anybody would doubt that, and I'm sure that Brandon Bean. This is part of the issue I have with this whole conversation sometimes with fans, and the way people frame it is, what do the Bills maybe wanting to sign James Cook? Like the word wanting to. The Bills want to sign James Cook. I'm convinced of that. I just don't think they want to sign him for the money he wants because of the value they place on him based on all these things we're talking about.
And as you started by saying, referring to his press conference, who knows how serious he is about whatever the. I mean, he's serious enough that he doesn't have a new deal yet, which would imply that he's looking for a real number.
Yeah, I think the thing that to me is the most in the way why I feel so much aligned with you, Sal, on it being maybe the least likely of outcomes is that he shows up and gets that contract extension is precisely how they use him. I just don't think they're going to want to extend themselves to a place where a guy would have to play 70% or so of the snaps in order to make them feel like they're getting out of it what they need to get out of it. It worked too well with everybody in the roles they were in last year. So it's not like they should have a sign in the yard for, spare running back wanted. They're all set, and it really worked. They ran it great. They passed it well enough. It all worked. So why would I want to pay this guy money that I'm eventually going to regret at some point or another, probably, even if it's only 3 years, and it's going to be a problem on my salary cap, other than just making him happy, that's not nothing, but it certainly shouldn't be at the front of the line of reasons I do something. I just don't see a way to him getting paid, and that sort of gets you to the question Mike asked about what the market looks like if he has another year like we just described. Does somebody, the cap's going up, does somebody, I would guess some bad team, the drought Bills, would go out and sign a $15 million a year, less than 50% of the time running back because his stats look good and our fans will love it.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with that. I was thinking the same thing as you were saying it. If that happens, someone's paying them, right? It might not be the smart thing to do, but some team's going to be like, oh no, we're doing this because it's going to give juice to our fan base. and, you know, he's a name, he's a, you know, hot player in the league. So that would happen. The other reason why I think it's less likely about the contract is just Brandon Bean's own words back at the owners' meetings when he said basically like next year, like he referred to next year. It's almost like they're kind of resigned to, look, we just can't make it happen. We're not going to do it. We'll revisit it. We'll see what our contract, our cap looks like. They paid all these other guys. He said, you know, we pivoted these other guys and we realized it wasn't going to happen. So the only way that it kind of can happen to me is if James Cook's side goes, okay, well, guess what? Like, we really, we kind of overplayed our hand, so we're going to come way down. And then maybe Brandon Bean goes, okay, well, we could do that. But I think it was almost already him telling everybody, hey, you know, it's just not going to work this year, and he's still under contract, and we'll see where it goes. On top of the fact that the way that they have treated the running back position since Brandon Bean has been the general manager, and let's be honest, it's basically worked, right? They haven't really invested. I mean, James Cook's a second-round pick, and you could say it's a really good asset, and that's fine. They haven't invested a first-round pick, and they haven't gone out and spent big money on a free agent, and they haven't signed anybody to a second contract. And even though Zach Moss didn't really work out in a Bills uniform, it was, we just draft these guys, and then we kind of use them up, and then they go somewhere else, and then we draft the next one to do it. And it's Devin Singletary, and then it was Zach Moss, and then they traded him for an asset, and now it's then it's James Cook, and then it's Ray Davis. It's just kind of what they do, guys.
Yeah. What kind of read, if any, Sal, would you have on how it could or would impact the team overall if Cook – and this is not to imply that he'll be sitting in a corner pouting or being sad or, you know, I don't know, making duct tape jail cell doors like Joe Cribbs did in front of his locker.
Ooh,
or something.
What a pull.
But, like – guys are rooting for one another. They'd want, you know, Terrell Bernard got paid, Greg Rousseau got paid, Christian Benford got paid, and who am I leaving out? I'm sorry if I'm skipping somebody. Khalil Shakir got paid, and James Cook is, you're running back, sorry. You know, that's tough, but at the same time, everyone in there is trying to, you know, do good, win the Super Bowl. Their careers all matter to them too, and they probably need James Cook pulling his weight to get where they want to go. So, like, I wonder just how that dynamic might work in the Bills locker room.
You know, it's interesting. I get the sense that where this team is now, the people they have there in the locker room, the leaders especially, I don't know if it would really matter, and they would still say, hey, we want James to get his money, and guess what? We understand, and they would support James Cook while still doing their job. I don't think anybody would be sour on him, and I don't think it would impact his relationship. Now, maybe younger players, when they were starting this whole thing, if this happened a few years ago, and I'm not even sure of this, maybe they may feel different. But I think that these guys, this group, has been, the core group here, has been in this league long enough now to kind of understand how this works. And they also love James Cook. So I think that they would still understand from both sides why this is happening and just say, but it's our job to go out there and play. And it's almost like we have to do it. What if he got hurt, right? If somebody isn't playing because they're hurt, we still have to do the same thing. And they would kind of just treat it like that.
But if you accused him of not investing enough in the running back position, would Brandon Bean take offense? This time, he might actually have to agree and concede the point. With Sal Capaccio, so that it continues to be something to talk about, and who knows, maybe by the time we get to training camp in 2 weeks, it'll all be settled. Cornerback will not be. What happens at starting corner across from Benford? That you've talked about it a lot, I know, Sal, but that'll be a really interesting one to monitor through camp.
Well, I think it's the number one battle. I think it's really the only true starting position that's available on this team right now. If you want to say safety at Cole Bishop, well, that's just up to Cole Bishop. If he's healthy, he's the starting safety. I don't think there's any question in my mind about it. I could be wrong about that, but I just don't think there's a question there. You want to talk about who the fifth wide receiver is, that's fine, or what the pecking order of wide receivers, that's fine too, but we know who the guys are. We know who the main guys are. That's not the case at cornerback number two. I think Tre'Davious White is the guy that starts off taking the reps when they show up on July 23rd. And I think Max Harrison's going to have every opportunity to show what he can do by the time they get to the end of preseason, have every single chance to win that job, but you have to win it away from Tre'Davious White. And I know you could say it anyway, right? I guess what I'm saying is it's Tre'Davious White's job to lose, but to me, it's really more Max Harrison's job to win is the way it comes down to me. That's the way I look at it. So, yeah, I do think it's interesting. Look, I think corner overall, guys, secondary actually is really interesting because if I'm doing a projected 53, and I'm doing this the other day, looking at it going, man, like someone's not making it. And I don't know who that is. I think DeMar Hamlin is iffy, but I think even on top of that, I'm talking corner. Is Dane Jackson a lock? No. Like, are they going to cut Dorian Strong, this kid that they just drafted? What, you know, was it, what, sixth-round pick, I think, Dorian Strong? You could. Mm-hmm. Yep. You don't want to lose him to waivers. You're not obviously, Jordan Hancock's going to be on the team. I think Jamarcus Ingram and Dane Jackson, to me, as I look right now just at the roster, are they fighting for one spot? That could very well be something we're talking about. I just think that position is really interesting.
Setting up for a possible Tre'Davious White revenge game in week one.
Yeah, I guess right. You're right.
I
think Tre'Davious, watching him in OTAs and minicamp, like, no, I'm not telling you I think he looked like Tre'Davious White of 2019, but I just think that, you know, he was energetic, he knew what he was doing, and he didn't look out of place. And I think that's the start right there with him.
Yeah. I like that you got to be behind there, too, and Cole Bishop, because I agree with you on that front, too. I think Bishop, it would stun me if he's not the opening day starter, if it were something other than an injury. And that spot, I think, is interesting. I heard Nate and Joe this morning for a few minutes while I was heading to a very early tea time talking about the stability you would want behind whoever, like if Harrison is going to be that corner, and as a rookie, and you're just going to throw him in, right? He wins the job. You're still going to want as much insurance, something you can feel is as bankable as it can get back there. Maybe, you know, you can leave Benford on his own. He's Christian Benford. He knows what he's doing here. And sure, there's times we're probably going to want to give him help, but you know what I'm getting to here? Like the kid on the other side, if it ends up being him, heck, if it even ends up being Tre'Davious White that wins the job, you might want to be shading help on that side more, and that's where Bishop really comes in, like that you know, or Taylor Rapp. But Taylor Rapp's really not the cover guy anyway. It feels like that's going to be Bishop, and that's going to be a key cog, I think, this year.
Yeah, and I think that Cole Bishop, when they used him last year, they showed they want to use him in the box a little bit. You know, he's a physical player. He gives them a little more ability to do a little bit more on down in, down out, and any down and distance situation. They can play with him back there. So I think that he just offers a little more versatility than what they've had and what they want, and gives them an ability to kind of match up a little bit better, right? I mean, think about when he was drafted and how he covered Dalton Kincaid in college, and Dalton's like, yeah, like he admitted that like he had the better of me in college. And, you know, not a lot of people did necessarily. Dalton Kincaid was a really good college player, but in practice, you know, this kid was very good at what he did. So I think matchup specific, Cole Bishop becomes really important as well. It's an interesting spot because, like, I think they normally keep four safeties on the roster. You could go to a fifth, there's no doubt, but then you're probably taking someone from the corner spot. Like, I think this year it's probably you could go six corners, four safeties. I could see that happening. Now, I'm not even counting Brandon Codrington. Brandon Codrington is a corner. This is a really fascinating one to me because, like, a lot of Bills fans, and maybe you guys too, I don't know, are not where I am on what the team feels about him and his spot. Like, I think Brandon Codrington is on this team unless somebody really shows that they can take the return job away. Because it's not going to be Khalil Shakir. They just gave him $58 million. He's your number one receiver. Like, he's break glass in case of emergency, like in the playoffs, have a guy you can trust guy back there. That's for sure. But, like, Brandon Codrington factors in here because he's a corner, but he's also, like, your number one punt returner. And that is a really super-duper important job for the Buffalo Bills and the way to do this. So what do the numbers look like? Right. To me, it's Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop. I think Derek Forrest has a job in this team because he's a special teams guy that they really like that they could put in there. And Cam Lewis, they love Cam Lewis. Like, Brandon Bean said last year, Cam Lewis, and I believe him, like, he made reference to Cam Lewis would be a starter at corner, at nickel corner, on almost any other team in this league. That's how much they love him.
Plus, Codrington does both. Like, you have punts and kickoffs in one player.
Chenault does not return punts. He doesn't have one single punt return to his credit. So if somebody out there was thinking just now, oh, but Sal, they signed Chenault, he's going to replace Codrington, he doesn't return punts.
And by the way, I just while we have Sal, I think of this often, but I don't think I've ever said it. I heard it said how a kickoff return is like a running play and a punt return is like a receiving play. And I wondered if you've ever heard that or thought about that. I get it in terms of the kickoff return. The guy gets the ball and he's got time to line up blocks and try to, you know, figure out holes and angles, where the punt returner, it's kind of like catch it and look out.
Right.
They're on you pretty quick.
Yeah, I haven't heard the second part about that as much, but I think more and more, and especially with the new rules, certainly, you know, a kick return is like a running play for sure. And, you know, with the new rules, like the Bills are going to use two kick returners. And I don't think Laviska Shenault really factors in here unless he, oh, my God, you got to keep this guy. He's unbelievable at kick returns. But they're going to use two kick returners. They're going to have a main punt returner. And you're right, Bulldog, he does both. So you're using the guy for both things. And then your other guy can be a Ty Johnson. It can be a Ray Davis. They can be the second kick returner there. But I think it all factors in the numbers-wise. And that's how you start to get to, well, who's the odd guy or odd guys out in this situation?
Right. I'm saying that definitively about Shenault. For all I know, he's fielding punt after punt out of a jugs machine since he signed here. But he has zero punt returns in his NFL career so far. So I'm saying he can't do it. Really, what I should be saying is he hasn't done it. If that changes because he's reading the tea leaves here and sees the landscape, like, I need to add this in order to make sure I get a spot, then, you know, maybe they give that a try in the summer. I don't know, but he just has not done that in the NFL yet.
Good luck. That might be hard to pick up.
Yeah, I would
either,
think.
By the way.
What's that?
I don't think he did in college.
Okay, right.
Colorado.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Very good. Sal, enjoy your time away, and we will see you in a couple weeks.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's our dude Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Looks like Chelsea is through.
Yeah, I turned. Yeah, they were
2-0.
2-0. Nil is what the soccer people say.
They beat the Fluminazis. I don't mean that. I do not mean that.
I don't have it. I know you don't.
Fluminazi.
I don't. Fluminense.
Fluminescence.
Fluminense.
Fluminase. One of those. Fluminense. It sounded what I wanted until it came out, and then it wasn't what I wanted at all.
Yeah, no, that
I didn't want that. I mean, no harm toward anybody.
That can happen,
especially that club. Anybody associated with it. We need a break. I do. I know that. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.